Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers. So today I want to speak to narcissism. So what's new here? I want to speak to what we mean by narcissism and especially what I mean, what we mean when we are here in this container, what I mean when I use that word in this podcast, because as it often happens, a word becomes used, sometimes abused, and each pair of ears that listen to the word attach their own meaning to it, and soon the word loses its true meaning and it just becomes a series of interpretations. And this can cause a lot of confusion. So, yes, I want to clear that because I hear quite often in informal conversations, especially women going, no, my mother wasn't a narcissist. Thankfully, no, oh, I hear what you mean, but no, my mother, no, she wasn't. And this is great. Like, I mean, I'm really happy to hear when I hear your mother wasn't a narcissist, and she never had any narcissistic behavior. But it's what follows that statement that makes me feel like the word has been misinterpreted or misunderstood, because what follows that statement is truly really interesting. Like, I give you some examples. No, my mother wasn't a narcissist, but yeah, no, she didn't dictate what I should or shouldn't do. She just didn't give me any guidance at all. Like, I could just do whatever I wanted all the time. And actually, I grew up feeling like I had no guidance. And then you see them pause for a moment. Another one is, no, my mother wasn't abusive. She was not a narcissist. She used to beat me and she kicked me out of the house when I was 16. But no, she wasn't really abusive. And I know this sounds crazy, right? What do you mean your mother wasn't abusive? She used to beat you. Isn't that an abusive behavior? But when we're caught in a situation, okay, and especially, this is particularly, it just is different when we're talking about the mother. So narcissistic relationships, you can meet narcissists in so many different environments. It can be your romantic partner, it can be your siblings, it can be some friends that you met along the way, that are not really friends, but you think they are. It could be your boss at work. So we're going to talk about it. It could be your step parents. I have an episode coming up on that topic. So there's like a whole world of people that can have narcissistic traits and impact your life like that. But when it comes down to the mother is like this mystical, mythical creature. It's your mom. She is your world. She is the person that gave you life. And there is this incredible bond, for the good or the bad, but there's a bond there. You've been in her womb for 9 months. Like, it's a different thing. And so we tend to take everything that this woman does as that's just how it's done. She had her good reasons to do all of that. I deserved it. I was a bad child. She had no other choice. And that's so lovely. Like, I mean, I'm not here saying that we shouldn't be compassionate towards our mothers as we shouldn't be compassionate towards other people. Of course, that has a really important part in the overall healing process. It is important. That's why I did an episode, Three Reasons Why Your Mother Behaved Like That, why she was a narcissist, and it's important to understand the why behind all of it. Really, ultimately, what you're dealing with is a really deeply traumatized person that went through very, very difficult experiences at some point in her life, in her childhood, and that's just how it is. That is true. But understanding and feeling compassion does not mean justifying, because we all have a choice at some point, and we can choose how we behave. And if you continuously, repeatedly choose to hurt other people around you, then that's just not on. That is not a behavior that we are going to accept anymore. So going back to what do we mean by narcissism? There's like, if you go online and search definitions of it, you're gonna find a lot of different ones. The main key point that is just a constant across all the definitions is that narcissism is considered a mental disorder with an exaggerated feeling of self-importance, but actually really low self-esteem. And what does that actually mean? That although they seem to present themselves like they are superior to everyone else, they're absolutely incredible people, how they do things no one else does them, actually deep inside they have a really, really, really strong sense of shame, and they feel very, very, very small. And to compensate that, to hide that shame, to keep it down, to keep it suppressed, to make sure it doesn't take over their life, they just take it out on others. So, in many cases, you're not gonna find that the word narcissist is 100% clear and even appropriate. Like, it has, how I'm trying to find the right words here. It's like it has a spectrum. So you're gonna have very strong narcissistic behaviors, and you're gonna have just phases of narcissism. You're gonna have narcissistic traits. So it's like it can be a little bit tricky. And again, ultimately, we can even forget the word narcissism altogether. Like, it's not to get caught in it. It's not like we want to box these people. It's not the only reason why we use this word is because it helps us understand. Ultimately, that's what we need. Because I don't know if you're like me, and you're here seeking clarity, seeking healing, seeking happiness for you, the happiness you deserve. That means you've lived a big portion of your life. I have lived a big portion of my life in absolute misery, feeling like I didn't deserve anything but the crap that I was getting effectively. So that I was faulty, that I couldn't do so many things because I was not good enough to do so many things. And I actually believed that my mother's behavior was just normal behavior, and that like she was justified, and that other mothers surely behave that way. And when I started feeling like maybe that was not on, I felt extremely alone in that. I felt like I was alone to deal with it. I felt like I couldn't speak about it, because I mean, speaking about your mother in less than loving terms is really not on. You just don't do that. It's okay to complain about your mom. I mean, she's just not letting you be out late at night, or she's just not giving you the phone all that often, or blah blah blah. That's okay. But to actually go into really speaking sort of bad about your mother, that's really not on. It's frowned upon. So that can leave you in a very isolated place. I felt very isolated. And denial kicks in. You really go, no, okay, like this can't be it. My mother can't be that. Even when you start understanding that maybe there's something wrong, still, you are justifying, or I was justifying. And as I said, although compassion is really important, this is stopping a whole other part that is necessary. Like, until we really truly become aware of what was going down, we can't gain access to other parts that are essential in the healing process. And one step is being angry at your mother, which does not mean go to your mother and start yelling at her. It means it's an internal process, and it's a process that you do in safe spaces, you do within your women's circles, you do it with your mentor, with your coach, with your therapist. You do it in safe places. But you gotta release all of that. You gotta access that energy, you gotta access that anger, that the part that is like, hell no, I'm not gonna take any more of this shit from you. It doesn't matter that you're my mother. Great, you one day gave birth to me. This was a whole lot of years ago, and you're still treating me like this. This does not give you any right to treat me like that. And can you feel that energy? Can you get what happens when you access that energy? You start setting boundaries. And we know at this point, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you know the importance of boundaries that are at the base of everything, of your entire healing process. If like it's an essential step, like beginning to set boundaries is fundamental. Until we do that, we are completely in their power. And we can't really get out of the hole we're in until we start setting boundaries. So that you gotta go accessing that energy. So whether you want to call your mother a narcissist, whether you want to say that your mother was abusive, or whether you want to just say that her behavior was not on, ultimately what we're looking at to really understand if your mother was or was not a narcissist, if what she did was not in tuning in with you, but was satisfying her own emotional needs before yours. And again, that's why we use words that clarify things. It's tricky to understand that. We can have some cases, like as I say, there is a spectrum of narcissism, and some are really covert. And, you know, it's easy to see, well, it's easier maybe to say that if your mother beat you often, or if like she shouted at you, if she outright told you how useless you were, that's really in your face. There's some behaviors that are really in your face, and there's some other ones that are like more subtle. Like there are some mothers that are completely devoting their entire life to their children, like, extremely so. They have no life outside of their children. And you know, very often this is seen like as a really good thing. Look at that woman, she's such a good mother. I mean, everything she does is for her kids. All her life revolves around her children. Isn't she incredible? But why is she doing that? Why is she doing that? So if that was your experience, why was she really doing that? Was she doing that and being happy about it? She was like a really super satisfied person. Or was she like always letting you know how much she was doing for you, that everything that she did was always for you, and how much she sacrificed herself for you? So the martyr mother, that's also a form of narcissism, because it is a way to make you 100% responsible for her, to guilt you into feeling like you need to give back constantly. And it's you can never feel up, you can never pay your debt enough. You're constantly giving back, to the point that you don't have a life anymore, because you're constantly trying to fill her own bag, but yours is getting emptier and emptier. So you can see how that doesn't seem really abusive from the outside. A lot of people will think really greatly of a person like that, but actually in the child's experience, that's really, really, really hard. Because ultimately it doesn't come from a steady place within the mother. The mother is grounded. The mother knows when to give, and the mother knows how to set rules. And it all comes from a grounded place. It comes from not high truths and massive opinions, but it comes from tuning into the child's needs, and sometimes having more than one kid means that there's gonna be different needs, and being able to tune into the needs of each of your own children and just behave accordingly, so that there is a very good balance between allowance to develop their own identity and some kind of structure and rules of what you get to do and you don't get to do, but all for the benefit of the child. That's the ideal world. That's what we're trying to do. And all the while keeping the child safe. And because... Yeah, so keep that part in mind, like that ideal part. So I read a really interesting article the other day that was talking from a psychology point of view about narcissism, and was talking about narcissism as a personality disorder, and it was defining it as a personality disorder only, okay, this is really important, only when the narcissistic traits impair a person's daily functioning. And I find that's very interesting, because, we only ever consider anything when that person can't function in society anymore. Like, we actually use as a measure of the well-being, the emotional, mental, physical, spiritual well-being of any individual only based on how the individual is functioning in society, and in a society that isn't actually really overall functioning very well. So I personally find that's very interesting, because I do know a lot of highly narcissistic people that, well, they function perfectly in society. They really do. I mean, they're high achievers in so many aspects of their life. They have a career. They have a bubbly, amazing Instagram life. and so on. But they are really toxic for anyone that is around them. So whether you want to define that as narcissism or not, whether scientifically, whether psychologically, whether the academic world decides that that's narcissism or is not, I want to bring the focus on what it does to the people that are around them. And it doesn't matter whether they're functioning or not functioning. I've had experiences of both in my family. Like, my mother doesn't really function very well in society, as her life shows. But I've met other people, even within my family, that seem to function super well in society. Like, they're going grand on the outside world, but when they come into the family environment, they're really negative and toxic. They're always putting their own emotional needs in front of everyone else's. They have zero capacity to tune in, you know, to empathize with anyone around them. Like, and that is really difficult to live with. So what got me in finding such a definition is that they made the point that only 1% of the population is actually, of whatever 1% of whatever population they did this research on, was affected and is affected by narcissism. And I don't like treating narcissism as a disease. And sometimes not even as a mental disorder personally, because that makes it like something that you can't really help. And that's a really easy way out of things. I can't help but being like that. And the reason why I don't agree with it anymore, and look, you can argue with me on this as much as you want, and that's okay too. I don't mind that. Yeah. Whatever is your opinion, I value it and honor it. And you must have very good reasons to have that opinion. So that's totally fine. The reason why I came to this conclusion is because I have had a strongly narcissistic mother. And I had strongly narcissistic behaviors in my own romantic relationships and in my own mothering of my children, especially with my eldest one, because, yeah, she's here longer, and my awareness of this whole entire thing kicked in eventually. So with my second child, things have been a little bit different from nearly from the start. The lack of awareness of it was the key. I had no idea. But I could see that there was something that was not working. Okay, this relationship is not working. And through work, through choices, through support and help, now things are very, very different. I came to a point where I can relate with my partner. I can relate with my children in a completely different way. So that's what I want to say. When we box someone into having a disorder or into having a disease, there is no allowance for change. There's no allowance for growth. There's no allowance for anything, for healing. And that goes for all those boxes. So yeah, I just wanted to say that again. You might resonate with this, maybe not. I'm basing this on what I've observed and what I've seen. I've even seen it in really highly narcissistic members of my family. Some are still oblivious to it. But I there's been some that have sort of come eventually and went, maybe, maybe I owe you an apology. I have actually made mistakes. And the moment you say that, the moment that happens, the moment that person does that, it means they've changed. There's an understanding. So ultimately, as we said, a narcissistic mother is protecting herself from the shame that she carries inside. And at what cost she does that simply doesn't matter. She can use violence. She can use emotional abuse. She can use controlling techniques. She can neglect. You know, like the first example, my mother wasn't really a narcissist. She just didn't give me any guidance. That's neglect. That is neglect. Maybe she comes from a highly controlling mother. Her own mother was highly controlling, was imposing, was violent, was telling her exactly what to do all the time. And so the reaction to that becomes no rules. You do whatever you want. But ultimately it's to soothe her own shame. It's not actually, because if you're tuning into your child, you will see and feel that there is a need for both. There is a need for structure as well as there's the need for the freedom to explore. And there's a balance between those two that as a mother you need to navigate with all the nurturing and loving energy that goes with it. When the balance is tipped either side, that is abusive. And whether you want to call it narcissistic abuse or not, it's still abuse. It still leaves the child confused, conflicted, feeling faulty, feeling undeserving of love, feeling abandoned, which then brings a whole lot of problems when the child becomes an adult, as we well know at this point. What is the solution to all of this? And why do we use the word narcissist so? It's because the awareness of what is going on is key. I know that from experience in so many different aspects, but one was massive. It was with my mother, of course, like years and years and years of so much abuse that when I realized, whoa, okay, maternal narcissism is a thing. That's what I've been experiencing. I am not actually to blame for all of this. I am not faulty. You just have a whole bunch of issues and you're just throwing them at me any chance you get. And I get you have your issues, but they're not my issues. That was like massive, massive. The amount of healing that came from that awareness alone, that kickstarted the whole thing. The other awareness was narcissism in my romantic relationship. Like realizing that the way my partner was approaching me and treating me, that is just not on. That is actually narcissistic behavior. And again, it's not because I'm faulty, it's not because I'm broken, it's not because I constantly need to work on myself all the time. I do, of course, need to work on myself. We all do, but that's a different thing. We don't work on ourselves because we're broken and faulty. We work on ourselves because we're ever expanding. That's completely different. that was another big moment of awareness. And as I mentioned, the relationship with my own children, that was awareness the other way around. They're not bad children. They're not bold children. They're not too sensitive. They're not a mess. I'm just approaching them in a way that is completely not on and comes from all my woundings and all the trauma I've experienced. And that's okay. I have experienced all that, but that's not on that I just throw it into their face. So all those moments in my life, that awareness has just changed so much for me. And it is at the base of the reason why I started this podcast. Because it's so key to let people understand what they're experiencing. That can make the difference. One episode, one key sentence that just you come across and resonates with you when you go, oh, yeah, that is what I've been through. Wait a second. And then you're looking at your entire life under a completely different lens. You're looking at yourself in a mirror in a completely different way. And from that place, healing happens. Healing happens inside. Change happens. So if you're amongst those people, you're here, so you have awareness at this point as to what's been happening to you. If you're new to this podcast and this is the first episode you're listening to, then you're gaining awareness. You can go back. There's like, for example, the 10 key signs your mother is a narcissist. Like, you can go listen to that. You can listen to the boundary setting episode. You can start just becoming familiar with all of that. You that are now aware somehow have the responsibility, in a good way, it's not to just put a weight on your shoulders, but you have the responsibility of bringing that awareness further afield. Like, if you know someone that is really caught in a situation with their own mother, someone that is really suffering, some women that their life are really not going well because they're caught in a loop, and you hear from them statements like, oh, well, no, yeah, my mother is such a lovely person, but like, she does this, that, the other, but you know, that's just how mothers are. Gently, really gently, and with a lot of kindness, challenge that. Because that little bit of, you know, you can always say, well, I hear you on that. Do you mind me sharing my own experience on that? This might not be your case, but what you just said made me think about my own experience, and this is what I've realized. And then I came across, you know, maternal narcissism, and wow, I've learned so much about my mother. Maybe, you know, you might just have a look into it. Being really kind, really gentle. It's a delicate thing. But that can really support someone. I remember the first time that someone actually told me, yeah, I hear you, and you're so... I remember it was my mentor and was like, You have so much compassion. I mean, I feel you've nailed the compassion for your mother. But what about, you know, what about the growl? What about the anger? What about all of that stuff? Because all the things that you're after telling me your mother was doing, well, they're not on. Do you realize that? And it was like, it was a real liberating moment for me. That those few words was really key to unlock to giving myself permission to actually go, okay, yeah, that's true. And it's not long after that I got to the point that I started setting boundaries. With my mother. Very, actually, incredibly decisive boundaries to the point that she stopped talking to me when I've mentioned in this podcast a few times that I'm no contact with my mother a long time now. It's over 1.5 years at this point. I haven't got no contact. I've just set boundaries, and yeah, sometimes that happens too, you know, like you set boundaries and the other person finds it a little bit difficult to deal with those boundaries, and that's okay. So we give them time and space to figure it out. But yeah, helping and supporting other people when you are becoming aware doesn't mean you're going out to save people. That's not the point of this, but sharing what you're learning, sharing the information, sort of sowing the seeds when you see that it's a thing, when you can observe people that you know very well and you can observe the dynamics and how toxic certain relationships are to go, well, you know, maybe you could try and listen to this podcast. You know, maybe this is the situation you're in. Here's my experience. That's really supportive. That can change a person's life forever. Yeah, I think that's it. I'm trying to see if there's anything else on this topic that is coming to mind. Yeah, and so to wrap it up, to go back to what we started with, the word narcissism is used in so many different situations, is understood differently by different people. Some people are refusing it altogether. What is really important to understand is that the generations we're coming from, we have mother wounds. We hardly, I do not know anyone to this day. I actually have never met a woman that does not have some mother wounds. And that sounds like a crazy statement, but I have worked with a lot of women. I've been working with women for over 15 years. And within my work and outside my work, I have not met someone that doesn't. Me included, of course, as you well know, but I haven't. And so whether you want to call them maternal narcissism, narcissistic traits or not, or just mother wounds, like generation after generation, there is so much wounding coming through the maternal line, and we can go all the way back. We can call it, we can blame the patriarchy. We can talk about this for hours on end. The result is what I'm interested in, is the fact that now there are a lot of mothers out there, or a lot of women. Some are mothers, some might not be, but there's a lot of women out there that are suffering like I was, like I have been, like I still do sometimes. The results of the trauma that our mothers didn't heal and that their mothers didn't heal and so on and so forth, going back generations. And there is a point where we break the cycle, and this is the point where we break the cycle. And I know that if you're here listening to this, you're like, yeah, I'm breaking the cycle and I'm doing it now. I've had enough of this. It is time to do that, because whether you have your own children or not, whether you're planning on having children or not, that's a choice, and that's totally fine either way. There's no particular merit in having children versus not having children. But whatever you're doing, anyone coming from this point after you, anyone you're gonna relate to, it's going to either suffer the consequences of you not dealing with it, or is going to enjoy the fact that you are dealing with it. You know, what we do now, what we do today, is for the next seven generations. So if you break the cycle now, like, there is like merit going forward. There's gonna be seven generation benefiting of the work you're doing now, without considering the amazing benefit that you get from this. And this for me is like an incredible motivation, especially in days where I feel a little bit more down, and I find it a little bit harder to move on, to feel that this work, the work on myself, the work you're doing on yourself, it's actually benefiting not just me, not even just my children, not just yourself, but like the next seven generations ahead. That's powerful. It's potent. And it's a big point of self-reflection, I think, for everyone, for us all. I'm inviting you to feel into that, to really feel it, get it sink into your bones, get it sink into your heart, feel that, what it means to do this work and to together raise the standards for every woman on the planet, for every woman. Because, yeah, every woman deserves to feel seen, safe, and loved. And I want to remind you also that, as I said in the last episode, new women's circles, new Reclaim Your Fullness women's circles are starting in September, and the waiting lists are open. So you can sign up through the website, fill in the application form, and that gives you access to a free call with me, an introductory call. And from there, then you're on the waiting list for the women's circle starting in September, which is super potent work. We go so deep into all of this. We get to go deep, for each woman gets to go deep, and also being witnessed by other women. And we're all in that together, because all the women joining the circles have been through what you've been through, which goes right to point at that part where we feel alone in this. We feel so alone in this. We're not alone. We're so not alone. When you start looking into it, there's so many women experiencing this. So many. And being together is potent. So yeah. That's available if you're interested, if you're feeling like it is the time to break the cycle. It is the time to break the cycle of pain, and it is the time now to stop that and to bring forward healing and the love and happiness that you so deserve. So you can head on the website and check that out. And with that, I'm gonna leave you, send you so much love. Bye for now.